Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Today's passage is on Romans chapter 15, verses 17, 18, and 19. But I want to give a little quiz first. You ready? All right. It's easy. First question, true or false? Pride is sinful. True. Now, all who say true, raise your hand. Let me hear it. Okay. Well, let me see it, I guess. All right. All who say false, raise your hand. That's good. That's good. I see two hands. Answer, it depends. No, seriously. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, Paul says, far be it from me that I should ever boast. All right, so, because pride is sinful. But he goes on to say, except what? In the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. So, obviously we can boast in something, so there are exceptions. For example, here's a verse I love, Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23, 24. It says, let the wise man not boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his strength. Not let the rich man boast in his riches. But what? Let him who boasts boast in this, that he knows and he understands the Lord. So there are exceptions. So it seems like if we're going to boast, if we boast in the Lord, then it's okay. It's not sinful. As a matter of fact, Scripture encourages it. So let's look at our passage today, Romans chapter 15, verses 17, 18, and 19. Paul starts out and he says, in Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. What's up with that? Now, wait a second. It seems like the exceptions are we can boast about the things of God. And here Paul's saying, I'm going to boast what I do. So that would be like Lisa Lanfer at the Academic Success Center coming up in front of everybody and saying, I am the greatest director of the Academic Success Centers around the world. And we would say, uh-oh, stand clear, lightning's coming. It's like she's boasting in her work. So Paul, where are you coming with this? We'll get to that in just a second. Second question. So, there are only two questions. I guess we've already failed, but let's give it our best shot. True or false? Paul accomplished a lot for God. Everybody says true. Everybody says false. Everybody says, no, you're not going to catch me the second time, right? You're right. The answer is sort of. He sort of accomplished a lot because he does talk about his work. But let's keep going in our passage. It says in verse 18, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. Rick, you didn't know what I was speaking on this morning, and I loved your prayer. He said, Lord, empower Bill. He said, Lord, speak through Bill. We're going to come. It was very, very appropriate. Now, let's just see if God answers it. Now, what Christ accomplished through me, this reminded me, remember when Dr. Philpott was here? He's coming back again in a couple weeks. He's an incredible communicator. One of our grads graduated a couple times with us. He put this quote up on the screen, and I asked him to send it to me because I remember reading this book a long time ago. This was a favorite quote of mine. I'd forgotten about it. And it said, if I appear great in their eyes, the Lord is most graciously helping me to see how absolutely nothing I am without Him. And He's helping me to keep little in my own eyes. He does use me, but I'm so concerned that He uses me and that it's not of me that the work is done. So here's the sentence that jumped out at me. The axe cannot boast of the trees it has cut down. It can do nothing but for the woodsman. I love that sentence because I love axes. And I mean, I love Axis so much. My son-in-law, one of them, Matt Dinsky, who's many of you know, he speaks here in chapel about once a year. He made me an axe one year for Christmas. I love axes. You know, hammers are my favorite indoor tool. And for years, axes were my favorite outdoor tool. It's, you know, if you go to change a little outlet, you need to use a screwdriver. If you use an axe, it works, but it's pretty expensive. But then one day, I bought a chainsaw. And I'm telling you, hammers and axes pale in comparison to a chainsaw. This is a picture of me. I had to cut some trees out behind my house, just a little dead limb, and I got carried away. I mean, I was having so much fun. And then, you know, I looked next door. They had some big trees, so I went next door. And, man, I was cutting down everything. It was great. As a matter of fact, physical plant brought me one here this morning. And I wanted to show you, I better, I mean, I just might get excited here. So, I want you to see how much fun chainsaws are. Now, I won't be able to hear you for just a second. Wow, I can't hear anything. Okay, so the hardest part about chainsaws is getting them started. So, Lord willing, that's so much fun. Man, this is great. Now, tell me that's not fun. I mean, that's a lot of fun. You can see why while the neighbors, when they hear me crank up my chainsaw, they start calling the police. That's why physical plant, they have, where's Xander? Where are you? They have Xander sitting real close by. So after chapel, he's racing up here to get the chainsaw because I've been eyeing those real big oaks on the circle. And all right, well, back to our question, true or false. Did Paul accomplish a lot for God? Sort of. It was actually God through Paul. These things are dusty for some reason. Paul was the chainsaw. This morning we'll learn how God used the Apostle Paul to accomplish so much through his ministry, and why he was so proud of what God did. Paul was the chainsaw. But let's first, very quickly, go over this whole series we've been going this year in the President's Chapels about the Apostle Paul. First message, convocation. We first came together at the beginning of the year. We said, chapter 1, verse 1, Paul was committed to the Lord, he was committed to the ministry, he was committed to the gospel. The second talk in the fall semester, we said, all right, let's look at this gospel, this message that he preached. And we saw that it wasn't originating in the gospels. It went back to the Old Testament. And it was about Jesus. He was a descendant of David, his humanity. I mean, he was the Son of God, his deity. And then we looked at a little more carefully, more closely at his ministry. What did he do with this gospel? And we found that he had a platform. Sometimes he was a professional minister, sometimes he was a ministering professional. But regardless of his role, his reason for ministering was to reach the Gentiles with the gospel. Then we had one last message in the fall semester, and we went down to Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 16, and we said, what was his mindset when it came to the gospel, when it came to his ministry? And we found it's a very verbal, Christianity is a verbal faith. We need to declare the gospel. That's our ministries, declare. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't demonstrate the love of Christ. In the final talk in this series in the Apostle Paul, in about a month, I want us to look at what is our mission based on what we learned from Paul. You know, see all these refugees, I don't want to start preaching it now, but I want you guys to go out and make a difference with social justice, with the refugees, however possibly you can. But understand we must be, Romans chapter 1, verses 14, 15, and 16. Verse 14, he had to say something. He was under obligation. He wanted to say something. He was eager to say something, verse 15. But verse 16, he was proud to say something because he was not ashamed of the gospel. Then we start off this semester, and we looked at his motivation, and it was very Old Testament-ish. He viewed himself as a priest. His offering was the Gentiles, and he wanted to be accepted, set apart by the Holy Spirit. So this morning, let's look at our passage. Read along. Follow along with me as I read it out loud. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience. By word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, and by the power of the Spirit of God. So in this passage, we learn how God used Paul to make such a big difference. He worked through Paul. And it's manifested in three different ways. God manifested his power through Paul in three different ways. And each one of these are set apart or marked by the preposition by. So let's pop those up. You see that up there? By word and deed, by signs and powers, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's look at each one of these manifestations of the power of God. So let's look at the first one. Verse 18. By word and deed. When I was studying this verse, by word, it means through preaching and teaching, but through preaching. Preaching and teaching what? The Son of God, Jesus. That's our message. The Scriptures call the message of Jesus Christ the gospel. It's the good news. So you could almost say, if you think back to Romans chapter 1, verse 16, which we focused on the first part of that verse, says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Well, why aren't you ashamed, Paul? Because the second part of verse 16, for it, what's it? The gospel. For the gospel is the power of God for salvation to all who believes. So you could say, by the power of word and deed, or by the power of the gospel. Is Abishak in here this morning? I haven't seen him. No, stand up, please. Just stand up. It's not hard. Go ahead. There you go. This is the man right here. You may sit down. I met Abishak. I think I've said this before, maybe a couple years ago. How old were you when I met you? I met you when you were a kid here in America. And then I went and stayed in his home in India. And great experience. His dad is a dear friend of mine. And his dad sent me these pictures yesterday. This is his dad, Tilak Papu, preaching in a non-Christian village. And in the letter, the email he sent me, he said it was very dangerous. But there's power in the gospel. He was preaching in this non-Christian village, this Hindu village, and he was preaching, and he could stand with confidence and speak about the message of Jesus Christ because the gospel is the power of God for salvation. And some of those that heard responded. Here's Tilak baptizing a person. That's probably pretty much like the baptismal pool you were in, right? You were baptized in. Well, some of you may be sprinkled, but you get the message. It's a little different there. And then after enough respond, and they're marked as belonging to Christ, they're gathered together in the planting of a new church. That's what his dad does. Really? That's his work. That's his ministry. Is that what Tilak Papu does? Or is that how God uses him? Who cut the log? The chainsaw? Or the woodsman? Get after it. Cut it. I cut it. I used the tool. God did the work of the ministry, but he used Tilak. Tilak was his chainsaw. Tilak was his tool. Tilak allowed God to work through him. So, how was so much accomplished through Paul? First, by the power of word and deed. But second, verse 19, it says, by the power of signs and wonders. So I went through the book of Acts, and I looked for, when did God manifest through Paul the signs and wonders that this verse is talking about? Well, chapter 13, verse 11, in Cyprus, Paul made Elymas, the magician, go blind. He says, you deceitful son of the devil, curse you. And he went blind. And people led him around by the hand. Iconium, it just talks about signs and wonders. Lystra, he heals a lame man. Ephesus, he heals the sick and casts out demons. Troas, he raises Eutychus from the dead, you know, who'd fallen out of the window. Malta, he's unharmed when the snake bites him. Now, God doesn't manifest his power through all of us in all these ways. God sometimes uses signs and wonders through certain of his tools, certain of his chainsaws, and sometimes he doesn't. I have not been used by God a lot to manifest the power of signs and wonders, but I've been the recipient of that. Some of you know my testimony. As a college student in Atlanta, seeking a right relationship with God, three students trying to tell me, it's in Jesus. You can't be right with God. Christ must make you right with God. There's nothing you can do of your own. And then I went home to Franklin, North Carolina, with one of those three students. And months before, I was doing a gymnastic move on a high bar and doing a dislocation through the high bar. But instead of dislocating, I ripped my shoulders. I was in a lot of pain. And that man said, the father of my fellow student, he said, Bill, I know you're in a lot of pain. He said, I'm a doctor. I know a lot about doctoring. But I know the doctor of doctors, and he can heal your shoulders. Do you mind if I pray for you? And he came around behind me, put his hands on my shoulders, and started praying. Just like that, they quit hurting. And within weeks, I'd given my life to Christ because I saw this stuff is real. It's real. Now, I would like to be used like that. I remember when I was in Abhishek's house in India, we went downstairs and you beat the tar out of me in ping pong. I mean, every single game was like 21-zip, 21-zip. He was playing left-handed, he was playing, you know. He's phenomenal. But if I'd gone, you deceitful son of the devil, I curse you, be blind. I'd probably at least score 5 or 6 points on you at that point. I mean, he is really, really good. All right, so the first is put word and deed. That's the power of the gospel. Second is through signs and wonders. They still exist today. And God delights to manifest his power to draw people to himself. But there's a third way. It says in verse 19, by the power of the Spirit of God. I want to spend just a little bit of time on this because I want you to understand there's some differences when it comes to these manifestations of the Holy Spirit. There's a difference in the Spirit's fruit and the Spirit's power. the fruit is manifested in our character, that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in Galatians 5. His power is manifested in our ministries. Now, my sweet wife, and sweetheart, I really appreciate this. It's just an illustration, okay? She got this little saw. You push this button and I mean, it's kind of neat. And so I was going to go trim a limb one day. And this is recently. Not this size limb. It's just a little bitty limb. And I really appreciate it. After about 30 or 40 of these little... I said, and I'm telling you, the limb wasn't that big around. And I couldn't cut through it. So I went, got my chainsaw. And it was gone. A lot of ministry is this right here. And that's okay. But when God's power shows up, it makes a huge difference. And we don't get frustrated. And this is just out of devotion to Christ that every day we're out there serving Him. But I didn't come this morning without praying, God, it can be a nice little chapel talk. But God, would you show up? Would you anoint me? Would you manifest your power through me? So in somebody's life today, this morning, there's a change that will carry on the rest of their lives and will impact the rest of their ministries. So the difference in the Spirit in us, that's the filling of the Spirit to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. And then there's the Holy Spirit through us. It's anointing, and then there's power, and it's often reflected in ministry. Now, I want you to be very careful. I don't want you to go to an extreme. Remember, it's easier to go to a logical extreme than to stay in the center of biblical tension. So you may have come in here and say, it's all about what I do for God. And you're hearing me say, listen, let the Holy Spirit fill you, and then even beyond that, anoint you, so you can be used by God to accomplish big and powerful things, just like the Apostle Paul. And so you can brag about the greatness of what He's done through you. But don't go over here and say, well, I'm not going to do anything. You see, Paul had to proclaim the message of the gospel for the power of word and deed to show up. He had to make himself available and pray, God, would you use me for the anointing and the power to be manifested through him? So stay in the center of biblical tension. I just want you today to understand we're emphasizing in this passage, it was Paul's work. He says, I'm proud of my work, but it's what Christ accomplished through me. It's like Colossians 1:29, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. So, before we wrap up, I want us to review some prepositions in this passage. You look here, three prepositions. Notice verse 17, it's in Christ Jesus that I have reason to be proud of my work. And then verse 18, what Christ has accomplished through me, and then you get down to verse 19, by word and power, by signs and wonders, and by the power of the Spirit of God. We tend to think that Christ's work is accomplished by us. And when we think that way, it leads to pride in us. Does that make sense? But Scripture teaches that Christ's work is accomplished by Him. And that leads, like Paul's, verse 17, it leads to pride in him. So we're boasting about him. So remember that Christ's work is not accomplished by us. Get after it. But it is accomplished through us by the power of word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, and by the power of the Spirit of God. So let's go back to that little quote. If I appear great in their eyes, the Lord is most graciously helping me to see how absolutely nothing I am without Him, and help me to keep little in my own eyes. He does use me, but I'm so concerned that He uses me, and that it's not of me the work is done. Because the axe cannot boast of the trees it's cut down. It could do nothing but for the woodsman. He made it, he sharpened it, he used it. The moment he throws it aside, it becomes only old iron. Oh, that I may never lose sight of this. So supply this. Because this is good stuff that comes from these verses. Since Christ's work is accomplished through us, then our focus needs to be on how to be usable. So how can we stay most usable? By staying clean. What does that mean? Confession of sin. Be sensitive. About the time I read the book that little quote's found in, somebody told me this. He said, godly people have very sensitive consciences. If you sense the Holy Spirit pricking your heart and pointing out sin, don't hesitate. Come before Him and say, oh, I was so wrong. I'm so, so sorry. Please forgive me. What is it? Acts 24:16. Paul says, in view of this, I do my best to maintain a blameless conscience both before God and before man. Be sensitive. Stay clean. Stay sharp. It's hard to use a dull saw, whether it's a handheld saw or a power saw. If they're dull, they're dull. So how do we apply that? Keep growing. Do everything you can. Take full advantage of every single minute, every single hour, every single day, every single week while you're here at CIU. You will never, ever, ever have another chance to grow as much as you can grow right now. Take full advantage. Have a lot of fun. Pass all your tests. But the goal is not to get an education. The goal is transformation. Education is just a means to the end. Do everything you can to become everything He desires you to be. And then stay available. Stay on your knees. Say, God, use me. I'm here. And Lord, if you do choose to pick me up and use me, I'll be careful to make sure my boasting is in you. And I'll just be grateful that you chose to pick me up. This morning, make yourself available to the Lord. Ask Him to use you in powerful ways, just like He used Paul. Ask Him to make you His most favorite tool. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, to think that we get to come in here and worship You during chapel, that we get to fellowship with the God of the universe, the God of creation, the Master of heaven above and earth below. Lord, that's one thing, and that's unbelievable. But then, Lord, to think that You actually want to use us to accomplish Your work here on earth. Oh my, that's unbelievable. Father, I pray that you would turn each student in here from a handsaw to a chainsaw. Lord, that you'd use them in powerful ways. And then, Father, I pray, like Paul, they'd be careful to boast in what you have done. And it's your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.